This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Ruined by Amy Tintera, performed by Emily Rankin. Chapter 1. The wheels of the carriage creaked as they rolled across the dirt road. The noise echoed through the quiet forest. Em crouched behind a tree, tightening each finger individually around her sword. A squirrel darted across the road and disappeared into the thick brush. She couldn't see the princess or her guards yet. She glanced over her shoulder to find Damien hiding in a squat behind the bush, his body perfectly still. He didn't even appear to be breathing. That was Damien, incredibly fast or incredibly still, depending on what the situation called for. Aaron was in a tree on the other side of the road from Em, precariously perched atop a branch with his sword drawn. Both boys stared at her, waiting for her signal. Em pressed her hand to the tree trunk and peered around it. The sun was setting behind her, and she could see wisps of her breath in the air. She shivered. The first guard rounded the corner on his horse, easily spotted in his bright yellow and black coat. Yellow was the official color of Valos, the princess's home, but Em would have made them wear black. She would have insisted that several guards scout the area around the carriage. Apparently, the princess wasn't that smart. Or maybe she felt safe in her own country. Em barely remembered what safe felt like. She shivered again, but not because of the cold. Every nerve in her body was on high alert. The carriage rolled down the road behind the first guard, pulled by four horses. There were five guards total, one in front, two on either side, and two in back. All of them were perched on top of horses, swords dangling from their belts. The princess must have been inside the carriage. 6-3. Em, Damien, and Aaron had faced much worse odds. The guard in front said something to one of the men behind him, and they both laughed. The spot of blue on their chests wasn't clear from this distance, but Em knew what it was. Soldiers who had killed at least 10 ruined wore blue pins. For every 10 killed, they received another pin. The man in front had at least 3. She looked forward to wiping that smile off the guard's face. Em returned her attention to Damien. She barely nodded. He stood slowly, a dagger in one hand and a sword in the other. He lifted the dagger and narrowed his eyes at his target. The blade sailed through the air. Em jumped up. Damien's dagger sank into the throat of the guard at the side of the carriage. A scream ripped through the air. He toppled off his horse, and the other guards quickly dismounted, swords drawn. The horses neighed loudly, and one of them ran, hooves clomping as it disappeared into the trees. Aaron jumped from his tree and landed on top of two guards, his sword cutting through the air and finding his target. Damien sprinted for the man trying to block the side door of the carriage. The guard's face was twisted in horror, his fear palpable. That left only one man, the one in front, and he was staring straight at Em. She clenched her sword tighter as she raced toward him. He grabbed something off his back. She barely had time to process the bow before the arrow was hurtling straight for her. She darted to one side, but the arrow sliced across her left arm. She gasped at the quick shot of pain, but she didn't have time to let it slow her down. She broke into a run as he reached for another arrow. He aimed, and she dashed out of the way, narrowly missing the second one. Damien appeared behind him. He drove his sword into the guard's back. The man gasped and fell to his knees. Em whirled around to find Princess Mary jumping out of the carriage, sword in hand. A burst of relief exploded in Em's chest as she surveyed the princess. They had the same dark hair and olive skin. Mary had green eyes, while Em's were dark. And Mary had small, delicate features, making her pretty in a way Em never would be. But from a distance, most people wouldn't be able to tell them apart. Em lifted her sword as Mary rushed toward her, but the princess stumbled back suddenly, pulled by an invisible force. Her fingers sprang apart, her sword clattering to the ground. Aaron stood behind Mary, his gaze fixed on her as he used his ruined magic to keep her in place. Em had no magic, but she was better than almost anyone with a sword. She shook her head at Aaron, and he released his hold on Mary. She didn't need his help. Em took a small step back, allowing the princess to retrieve her sword. She wanted to beat the princess in every sense of the word. She wanted to see Mary's face when she realized Em had bested her. The anger trickled in at first, hesitant, like perhaps fear was the better emotion right now. But Em embraced the anger, let it swirl and grow until it tightened around her chest and made it hard to breathe. Em attacked first, and Mary raised her sword to block Em's. The princess kept watch on Damien, but Em knew neither of her friends would jump in to help again unless it was absolutely necessary. They knew she needed to do this herself. Em lunged at Mary again, spraying dirt into the air. Mary raised her sword, and Em ducked, letting the blade sail above her head. She bolted to her feet, slicing her sword across Mary's right arm. The princess gasped and stumbled, and Em took advantage of the moment of weakness. She launched her sword against Mary's, knocking it out of the princess's hand. Em took a step forward, aiming the tip of her blade at the princess's neck. Her hands shook, and she gripped her sword tighter. She'd imagined this part of the plan 100 times, but she hadn't counted on the sick feeling in the pit of her stomach. "Do you know who I am?" Em asked. Mary shook her head, her chest heaving up and down. "I believe you knew my father," Em said. "You killed him and left his head on a stick for me to find." Mary pressed her lips together, her eyes darting from Em to the blade at her neck. Her mouth opened, a squeak coming out before she spoke. The princess cut herself off and ducked, grabbing for something on her ankle. She bolted upright, a dagger in one hand. She lunged for Em. Em dove to one side. Panic seized her chest for a moment. If Mary killed her or escaped, the entire plan would crumble. Mary swung at her again, and Em grabbed her wrist, yanking the arm with the dagger to the sky. With her other hand, Em drove the sword into the princess's chest. The blue pins hit the ground with a soft clink. Em counted as Damien and Aaron ripped them off the coats of the dead Valos guards. 9 pins total between them. 90 ruined killed. Just by these 5 men. She leaned down and scooped up the pins. The 2 interlocking circles symbolized the union of 2 countries, Lara and Valos, in their fight against the dangerous ruined. The sword that cut across the circles symbolized their strength. Em dropped 5 pins into Aaron's hand. "Put them on your coat." "But the Lara guard will respect you more. Actually," she added 1 more. 6. You'll be a star." Aaron's mouth twisted like he'd eaten something sour, but he put the pins back on one of the coats without protest. He slipped 1 arm through the yellow and black coat, then the other. He buttoned the 5 gold buttons and ran his hand down the front, straightening the material.
"Do I look like a Valos guard?"
He grabbed his sword.
"Wait, it's more realistic when I swing my sword around like I have no idea how to use it. Now I look good, right?"
He grinned too widely, showing off dimples on both cheeks. She snorted.
"Perfect."
She pointed to where blood dotted his dark skin above his eyebrow.
"You're bleeding."
Aaron swiped at his forehead as M dropped the remaining 3 pins in Damien's hand.
"Get rid of those. We don't want hunters finding them and getting suspicious."
Damien slipped the pins into his pocket.
"I'll burn them with the bodies."
M's gaze slid to the wagon behind him, where the princess and her guards were piled. A piece of Mary's long dark hair stuck out from beneath the blanket at the back of the wagon, almost touching the dirt. She looked away from the wagon. Her mother had always said that the only way to find peace was to kill everyone who threatened it. But the tight feeling in M's chest remained.
"I should take care of the bodies as soon as possible,"
Damien said quietly. M nodded and turned to face Damien, then quickly focused on the ground. He had that expression, the one that made her heart squeeze painfully. It was a mix of sadness and hope, and maybe even love. He stepped forward, and she wrapped her arms around him, the familiar smell of him enveloping her. He knew she wasn't capable of returning his feelings. Not now. Revenge swelled and twisted and burned inside of her and left room for nothing else. Sometimes it would simmer down for a while, and she would think it was gone, but it would always return. She would be back in her home, her lungs filled with smoke and her eyes watering as she peered around a corner, staring as King Salamir pulled his bloody sword out of M's mother's chest, hearing her sister's screams as his soldiers dragged her away, finding her father a few weeks later, after Princess Mary killed him. Maybe when she killed the king and his family, she'd be able to feel something else. Maybe then she'd be able to look at Damien the same way he looked at her. She tried to smile at him. A lump had formed in her throat, and the smile probably came out more like a grimace. She watched as Damien said goodbye to Aaron.
"I should make it back to the ruined camp by tomorrow evening,"
Damien said, stopping next to one of the horses pulling the wagon. He glanced at M.
"Are you sure you don't want me to tell them you're trying to find Olivia? They should know there's a chance their queen may return."
M shook her head. "Not yet. They voted you as their leader, and they need someone to depend on now. Let's not get their hopes up yet." Regret flashed across Damien's face at the word leader. He was a good one, despite his young age. But he only had the position because the ruined had turned their backs on M. She might have been heir to the throne with her mother dead and sister missing, but she was useless. Powerless. Not fit to lead, a ruined had said when they demanded Damien take over a year ago.
"Keep them safe," she said. "I'll wait to hear from you."
Damien climbed into the wagon, putting his right fist to his chest and tapping it once. The fist tap was the official Ruina salute to the queen, and something no one but Damien and Aaron had ever done for her. M blinked away tears. She lifted her hand, waving goodbye, and Damien did the same. The ruined marks on his hand and wrist were visible, a reminder of why he couldn't even consider coming with them. The marks let the world know he was a ruined with power. M lacked power, so she also lacked ruined marks. It was completely dark now, and Damien's figure disappeared quickly, the clomping of hooves echoing through the night. She turned back to Aaron, who was pulling his collar away from his scarred neck. Aaron had barely escaped the burning ruin of a castle alive, and much of his upper body told the story. They also hid the story of his ruined magic, as the fire had burned away all traces of his ruined marks. His marks had been beautiful, white against his dark skin, the thin lines twisting together and creating spirals all over his arms and back and chest.
"Ready?" he asked quietly.
She grasped for her necklace and rubbed her thumb over the silver O. No. She'd been planning this for almost a year, but she'd never be ready.
"We should be able to make it to the Lara border by morning,"
Aaron said as he walked to the carriage and climbed up. He gestured behind him.
"Do you want to ride in the carriage like a real Valos princess?"
Em headed for one of the horses. "Not yet. I'll ride a bit ahead and scout the area. I'll get in when we approach the Lara border." She swung one leg over the horse and settled onto the saddle. She glanced over at Aaron to see her friend watching her, his head cocked to one side.
"What?" "Your mother would be proud, Em."
He bowed his head slightly at the mention of their dead queen.
"I hope so."
The words came out as a whisper. She was certain her mother would be furious that Em had allowed her younger, powerful sister to be taken by the Lara King. Em was supposed to protect Olivia, and she'd failed. But she would make it right. She would save her sister and kill the man who had taken her and murdered their mother.
"Make people fear you, Emelina."
Her mother's words echoed in her head.
"Stop worrying about what you don't have and start focusing on what you do. Make people tremble when they hear your name. Fear is your power."
Wenda Flores had never known the days when the ruined were feared for their powers and revered as gods, but she longed for those days. She wanted nothing more than to make the humans bow down in terror. Em lifted her head, fixing her gaze straight ahead. No one feared Emelina Flores, the useless daughter of the most powerful queen Ruina had ever known. But they would. Chapter 2. Kaz leaned back, barely avoiding the sword aimed for his neck as he spun away from his opponent. His foot caught on a rock and he stumbled, throwing his arms out to keep from falling on his face. His opponent's sword poked his chest. That was unfortunate.
"Dead," Gallo grinned as he withdrew the dull blade. "Feeling tired, Your Highness?"
Kaz took a step back, running a hand through his hair. The sun beat down on them in the castle gardens, and his hair was damp with sweat.
"I am a bit tired. It must be from winning the first four times."
The guard spread his arms wide. He was still breathing heavily from the fight.
"I like to lull you into a false sense of security first. Then I really start trying."
Kaz laughed, transferring his sword to his left hand to roll up the sleeves of his white shirt. His jacket lay on the ground, covered in dirt they'd kicked around while sparring. His mother wasn't going to be pleased.
"Let's go again," he said, lifting his sword. "Perhaps you should rest a moment."
Gallo placed his palms on his thighs, letting his sword dangle from his fingers. He let out a long breath.
"You look exhausted."
"Yes, it's me who looks exhausted."
Gallo straightened, glancing back at the castle. The white stone building loomed large next to them, casting a shadow across the gardens. Arched windows lined the rear of the castle, and a maid stuck her head out of one on the second floor, giving a rug a quick pound against the wall.
"Maybe we should stop."
Gallo gestured at the dusty jacket on the ground.
"You're going to smell like dirt and sweat when your new bride arrives."
Kaz dropped the sword on top of his jacket, messing it up further.
She's been traveling for days. I'm sure she'll smell as well. We'll be even.
How very considerate of you, Your Highness.
Gallo only called Kaz Your Highness when he was making fun of him. Kaz shot him a mildly amused look. Gallo was 2 years older than him, and in his 3 years on the guard had become more of a friend than someone who should call him by his formal title.
Did you hear that also warriors are coming to visit after the wedding?
Kaz asked.
I didn't hear that,
Gallo said, pushing a hand through his dark hair.
Why?
Negotiations. They have some issues with a treaty that gave Lara control of their main port after the last war. But I think my father agreed to the visit so he could show off.
Show off what, exactly?
After I'm married, Lara will control Valos as well as Ruina.
Kaz laughed.
It is impressive. He can't stop bragging that he's leaving me with 2 more kingdoms than his father left him. Of course, one of them is Ruina. That one isn't really something to brag about.
Not unless you're a fan of dead crops and gray skies.
I asked him if I could visit Ruina, see the mines, but... Kaz shrugged.
Maybe it's still too dangerous.
It's definitely too dangerous, Gallo said.
Casimir? Casimir!
Kaz turned at the sound of his mother's voice from inside the castle. She swept out onto the patio of the second-floor library, the skirts of her light blue dress swishing around her ankles. She planted her hands on her hips.
She's been spotted at the end of the road, she said.
His heart dropped.
All right.
You could at least pretend to be excited.
I am simply alight with excitement and anticipation. I can hardly contain myself, really.
He flashed a big, fake smile.
How was that?
Gallo covered a laugh with a cough. His mother let out a deeply annoyed sigh and strode back inside.
I'd better go,
he said, grabbing his sword and handing it to Gallo. He snatched his coat from the ground, shaking the dirt out.
Good luck, Gallo said, then frowned. Is that the appropriate thing to say in this situation?
Kaz lifted one shoulder. There wasn't much to say to someone who was headed out to meet the woman he'd been ordered to marry.
Try not to vomit might have been the best choice.
He gave Gallo a tight smile and hopped up the steps, grabbing the handle of the tall wooden door. He threw it open, his eyes adjusting to the dim lighting in the staff dining room. To his left, a boy backed out of the kitchen door, the sound of clanging pans and yells drifting in from behind him. He held a tray of pastries, and he came to an abrupt stop when he spotted the prince. Kaz nodded at the boy, striding past him through the far door and into the hallway. Sunlight streamed in from the wide windows to his right, and the walls in this corridor were almost pink in the afternoon light. Later, they would look red. Every corridor was painted a different color, and when he turned a corner, he found 2 staff members arranging bunches of yellow flowers against the bright green walls. The castle buzzed with noise as he walked into the foyer. More flowers lined the banister of the staircase, and a staff member was wrapping blue ribbons around them. The air was full of anticipation and excitement as the castle staff prepared for the arrival of the new princess. Their bright faces just filled Kaz with more dread. His mother and father stood in front of the door at the main entrance, and he stopped next to them.
You're all dirty,
his mother said, taking his jacket from him. She beat at it with her hand, trying to remove lingering dirt.
Did you have to spar with that guard before she arrived?
The king clapped his son on the arm.
He's just nervous. Working off some energy.
I am not.
Yes, he was. Maybe nervous wasn't the right word. Kaz had always known he'd marry someone his parents chose. He'd known, yet he hadn't quite prepared himself for how it would actually feel. Like his stomach was going to drop into his feet and his head would explode from the pounding.
What was the word for that?
This is as good as it's going to get, his mother said, handing him his coat. He slipped it on.
Try and talk to her, the king said. It makes people uncomfortable when you just stand there quietly.
I don't always have something to say.
Then think of something,
his father said, exasperated. The queen walked to the door, gesturing for them to follow.
Come on, both of you.
She let the king slip past her and put a hand on Kaz's arm.
Don't worry, Kaz. I know she will be quite taken with you.
He shook her hand off, but tried to smile like he believed her.
Quite taken with you. How ridiculous. It was a treaty marriage, and Mary knew as much about him as he did about her. Nothing.
They marched outside into the sunlight, Kaz trailing behind his parents. About 10 staff members and several members of Kaz's guard were waiting in 2 neat rows. He walked down the castle steps and took his place next to his father as the gate began to open. He clasped his hands behind his back, then pulled on each finger of his left hand until he felt the knuckle crack. His heart was pounding so loudly it vibrated in his ears. He tried to fix his face into a neutral expression. A dirt path ran from the castle to the front gate, flanked on either side by lush green grass and perfectly trimmed square hedges. 2 guards pulled open the iron gate, scurrying out of the way as Lara's royal escorts came through on their horses. Behind them was a small carriage that had seen better days. Dirt and mud stuck to the wheels, though that was to be expected after the journey through the Lara jungle. The body was plain gray, with a glass window on either side. The windows were open, and the one closest to Kaz looked like it might fall off its hinges at any moment. A curtain had been pulled over the open space, obscuring the inside from view. A young man in a Valos uniform sat on the seat at the front of the carriage, reins in hand. Kaz expected several more guards to follow him, but he was the only one in Valos yellow. Strange. Kaz always took several guards with him when he traveled. The Valos guard pulled the horses to a stop and jumped off the carriage, tugging on the ends of his jacket. His hands were covered in scars, like he'd been burned, and Kaz tried not to stare as the man opened the door to the carriage. He'd never seen flesh that mangled before. A hand emerged from the carriage first, and the guard took it, stepping back as a dark head appeared. Princess Mary jumped out of the carriage, disregarding the step and kicking up some dirt in the process. She was tall, with long legs, and wore a yellow dress that stretched tightly across her chest. It was also too short, revealing a bit of ankle, and Kaz wondered if she'd recently grown taller or just had a terrible seamstress. A few strands of her dark hair had come loose from their tie, giving her a wild, disheveled look.
Rumors of her beauty were exaggerated, his father muttered.
Kaz actually had known one thing about Mary, as her parents had written before they died, saying she was beautiful and lovely and so pretty and delicate. But the girl in front of them wasn't any of those things. She was sharp angles and hard lines. Nothing about her seemed delicate at all. The guard sort of waved his hand in Mary's direction. He clearly wasn't the one who usually introduced her.
Princess Mary Ancello of Valos.
Kaz had thought they might refer to her as Queen Mary, but technically she hadn't ascended to the Valos throne following her parents' death. Valos belonged to Kaz's father now. Mary's gaze immediately slid to Kaz. She had dark, intense eyes, framed by long lashes. The skin beneath them was a bit dark as well, making her look either tired or angry. Maybe both. Kaz bowed his head slightly in greeting, then focused his attention on the trees in the distance, He was less likely to jump out of his skin if he didn't make eye contact. The herald stepped forward and swept his arm out toward the king.
His Majesty, King Salamir Gallegos. Her Majesty, Queen Fabiana Gallegos. And His Highness, Prince Casimir Gallegos.
It's lovely to meet you, Mary, his mother said, bowing her head, then stepping forward and clasping Mary's hands in her own. The girl seemed surprised by this, and she leaned back, as if she wanted to run away. Kaz couldn't blame her. He was contemplating running himself.
It's lovely to meet you as well, Mary said quietly.
The king beamed at her in that way he always did with women.
A pleasure.
One side of Mary's mouth turned up in something like a smile, or a grimace. Kaz found it difficult to read the expressions on her face.
This is my guard, Aaron, Mary said as the young man took a step forward.
Did you bring only one?
The king's tone held a note of suspicion.
Many of the Valos guards have been sent to hunt down the ruined, Mary said. A few more escorted me to the Lara border, but I thought it best to send them back where they were needed.
Her lips did something that still wasn't quite a smile.
You have so many excellent guards here in Lara.
How true.
The king grinned broadly as he beckoned to Julio, the captain of Kaz's guard.
Take Aaron inside and show him his quarters.
Aaron threw his bag over his shoulder and followed Julio into the castle. Both his parents turned to Kaz, like they expected him to say something, and his mouth went dry. Mary stared at him as if she expected something as well, and he had the sudden urge to never speak again. He squarely met her gaze and immediately felt as if they were having a competition to see who would become uncomfortable first. Kaz was confident he would win that competition every time.
Excellent, the queen said.
The king widened his eyes at his son. His mother extended her arm, slipping it through Mary's as she steered her toward the castle.
Will your things be along shortly?
Everything I have is in that carriage. She didn't say it like she was ashamed of it. Kaz took another glance at the small carriage. There couldn't have been more than one trunk in there.
That's all right. It's nice to start fresh, the queen said smoothly. I'll have someone sent up immediately to get your measurements. I heard you're very fond of dresses.
Who isn't? Mary asked. Kaz watched as they climbed the front steps and disappeared through the massive wooden doors. He'd said nothing to her at all, he realized. Maybe he should have at least asked her how her journey was, or if she needed anything. The king sighed.
I suppose you could have done worse than Mary.
We should ask the priest to say that at the wedding, Kaz said. And now we unite Casimir and Mary. They both could have done worse.
Chapter 3. A knock on the door made Em's eyes fly open. She gasped and scrambled upright. The sheets tingled between her feet. She rolled off the bed, yelping and hitting the ground with a thud. She winced, pushing her hair out of her face. She was surprised she'd fallen asleep at all. She'd still been awake when the sun started peeking through the curtains, unable to sleep in a castle full of her enemies. She'd spent almost a year planning to infiltrate the castle, but the reality of being surrounded by people who would kill her if they discovered her true identity was more unsettling than anticipated.
Your Highness?
A voice called from behind the door. She got to her feet, straightening her nightgown.
Yes?
The door opened to reveal Davina, one of her maids, carrying a tray of food. One of her maids. The life these people led was ridiculous. Em's mother hadn't employed maids.
A maid is a potential spy, her mother used to say. Davina held up the tray.
I brought your breakfast, Your Highness, and the Queen has requested your presence.
She put the tray on the table in the corner and turned back to M, a smile on her young, pretty face. There was one knife on the tray, and M studied it, trying to judge how sharp it was. 3 quick steps across the room, and she could reach around Davina for the knife to jab it in her throat before she knew what was happening. 5 seconds, tops. M shook the thought away. She didn't need to kill her maid at the moment.
Requested my presence for what?
The wedding dress fitting, Your Highness.
Oh, right.
She tried not to look like the thought of her wedding dress made her want to throw up.
And the union battle is this afternoon, Davina said. The Queen wants to do the fitting first.
Was she supposed to know what the union battle was? It didn't sound good, whatever it was.
Of course, M said. I'll get ready quickly.
Davina made a move like she was going to stay and help, and M shook her head.
I'm fine for now. I'll call you in when I'm almost ready.
Davina hesitated, then walked to the door.
I'll wait right outside?
Yes, please, M said. M sighed as Davina disappeared through the door. The maid had left tea and a thick slice of oddly colored bread on the tray. M broke off a chunk and popped it in her mouth. It was sweet and delicious, and she quickly finished the whole piece. She hadn't had much good food for the past year. She looked around her room. She'd rarely even had a bed for the past year. And now she had a sitting room, an office, and a bedroom. The large window on one wall showed off a lovely view of the gardens. The room had been decorated in blue, Lara's official color. The chair in the corner was blue, the tapestry on the wall was blue, and the sheets on the bed were blue. It was all pristine and beautiful, and M wanted to rip it to shreds. They lived like this, while the ruined were forced out of their homes and had to move camp every few days just to stay alive? She'd have to make sure to burn down the castle before she was done. She could still smell the smoke from the day the king had burned her home to the ground, killed her mother, and taken her sister. It was only right to repay the favor. She drained her tea and pulled out a hideous pink dress of Mary's. The weather in Valos was much cooler than Lara, and the people were often completely covered from neck to toe. Mary's dresses were long-sleeved, stiff, and made more for function than fashion. They were wildly depressing. Like the dress she'd worn yesterday, this one felt too short and tight as she pulled it on. But the fullness of the skirt hid the ill fit well enough. Her necklace hung in the center of her chest, and she closed her fingers around it for a moment. The silver O was for Olivia, and she'd considered leaving it behind when she became Mary. But she'd worn the necklace every day since returning to the remains of her castle and finding it among the rubble. If she ever found Olivia, she would return it to her. When she found Olivia. She didn't know why the king had taken her sister instead of simply killing her, but nothing would stop her from figuring it out and rescuing Olivia. She let go of the necklace, the pendant falling against her chest. If anyone asked, she could simply say it was a circle, a gift from her parents. She pulled her hair back, looping it into a simple knot behind her head. Davina returned and buttoned the back of the dress, then escorted her out of her rooms. Aaron stood near her door with 2 guards, outfitted in a blue and white Lara guard uniform. She had to resist the urge to rush over to him. Aaron had been by her side constantly for the past year, and she felt as though she'd lost a limb without him nearby. M wanted to ask him how he was settling in, If he'd found out anything, if anyone suspected something odd. But Davina quickly brushed past him and the other guards. The maid did take a quick glance over her shoulder at Aaron, a blush creeping over her cheeks when he smiled at them. Em suppressed a laugh. The list of girls blushing over Aaron never ended. Em and Davina rounded several corners, and Em immediately lost track of where they were. The hallways were all the same except for the vibrant colors on the walls that changed each time they turned. The castle was laid out in a square, so at least it was a comfort to know that when she inevitably got lost, she could keep turning corners and end up back where she started. Deep blue rugs ran down the center of the floors, and light spilled across the floors from the large windows. The windows were open and faced the east, so the ocean was barely visible. A cool, salty breeze blew through the hallways. Lara was much warmer than Valos or Ruina, the sky completely cloudless. She could see why the people of Lara had forced out the ruined generations ago so that they could remain. She wouldn't want to leave this place either. Davina stopped and rapped on a large wooden door. It was quickly opened by a young woman, and the maid scurried away. The woman escorted Em inside. The queen stood in the center of the room, her bright red gown in contrast to the cream-colored outfits the two women next to her wore. The large room featured racks of dresses, pants, blouses, and a wall entirely of shoes. The queen's closet. She couldn't help but hope that she'd get to experience that kind of wardrobe during her stay. If she had to deal with these people, she could at least wear some beautiful clothes while doing it. Em scanned the room for weapons. A mirror was attached to one wall, but it was too large for her to break. There was a large platter of fruit on the table, and the white ceramic plate was likely sturdy enough to do some damage when smashed against a skull. 1, 3, 6 steps, and she could weave around the maids to get to the far corner of the room. Grab the plate, duck a maid, smash it against the queen's head, spin around and push a maid away, use an edge of the broken plate to cut a jagged line across the queen's throat. Dead.
Mary,
the queen said, extending her arms to her. Em clenched her fingers into a fist, fighting back the urge to scream. She hadn't counted on how difficult it would be to stand in the presence of the people who had destroyed her life. When she'd stepped out of the carriage yesterday, she'd almost grabbed Aaron's sword and swung it at the king's head. She took in a slow breath. Calm. Steady. Her mother was the scariest woman she'd ever known. The scariest woman most people had ever known. And it was partly because she never lost her temper. If she wanted to kill you, you didn't know it until the knife was already in your gut. Em needed to be like her mother right now. Perhaps the queen realized Em didn't want to be hugged, because she took both of Em's hands instead and squeezed them. When she smiled, the small half-circle scar on her left cheek moved. It was the only interesting thing on an otherwise boringly beautiful face.
How was your first night? Were your rooms adequate?
They were perfect, Your Majesty, Em said.
Please, call me Fabiana,
the queen said, dropping Em's hands.
We'll be family soon.
Of course. Fabiana was a terrible name, so Em would be happy to call her by it.
What do you think of Lara so far? The queen asked. Different from Valos, isn't it? Less dreary.
Much less, Em said, noting the subtle dig at Valos.
And how does Lara compare to Ulso? I hear it's cold there.
Fabiana barely lifted one eyebrow.
Lara is less rigid.
I'm sure it is. Em had never visited Ulso, but she knew the warriors, the group of men and women who protected the country. Well, Fabiana used to be one of them, before she defected to Lara, bringing secret information with her. She was probably the most famous traitor in all of Ulso. M had reminded the warriors of Fabiana's betrayal when she approached them about partnering with her. They'd happily agreed to join M's mission. The door opened, and a dark-haired girl stepped into the room.
Jovita!
The queen exclaimed. I'm glad you could join us. M took a long look at the king's niece. She was second in line to the Lara throne. Though she was around the same age as M, something about the way she carried herself made her seem much older. She was a little shorter than M, but still had a formidable look about her. Her shoulders were broad and strong, her arm muscles rippling beneath her thin gray tunic every time she moved, and she didn't smile much, though M didn't think it was because she was unhappy. She just seemed like the kind of girl who didn't smile simply to make others feel comfortable. I thought I'd stop by and see how our new princess is settling in. She strode across the room to the tray of fruit and popped a grape in her mouth. M frowned. It would be very difficult to get to her weapon of choice with Jovita standing in front of it.
Perfect timing. She's about to try on the dress.
The queen gestured to the maids, and one of the women scurried away, returning with a pile of blue material so high it almost covered her face.
If you could take your clothes off, please, Mary,
the queen said with a wave of her hand. One of the girls began unbuttoning her pink monstrosity, and M ducked her head to hide her flaming cheeks as the dress fell to the ground. Perhaps these women often undressed in front of total strangers, but M had never been in her underwear in front of anyone but her mother and sister.
We'll take your measurements and have some more clothes brought to you,
the queen said as the girls took away Mary's dress. M detected a hint of disdain as the queen examined the garment. She was suddenly very fond of it. The girls held open the blue dress for M, and she quickly stepped in, eager to be covered again. The fabric was cool and smooth against her skin, and it flared out from her waist extravagantly. The ruched bodice hugged her torso, and a beautiful chain of beads wrapped around the waistline. It was elegant in its simplicity, and M gingerly touched the soft fabric.
Oh, yes, that's lovely.
M looked up to see the queen standing next to the mirror. She stepped in front of it, and her reflection stared back at her. The dress was even more stunning when she could see it in its full glory. It was the most beautiful dress she'd ever seen. Olivia would have clapped and done a happy dance if she'd been there. Tears pricked her eyes.
I'm sorry, she said as one slipped down her cheek.
She quickly wiped it away.
You wish your mother were here?
The queen guessed. Em nodded. The real Mary probably would have cried for her dead family, too. Perhaps any girl in this situation would have cried, regardless of the status of her mother. She had to marry Casimir, after all. Kaz. The name made her insides clench. They'd barely spoken yesterday, and she really hoped he planned to ignore her entirely. His parents had arranged this marriage. Maybe he had a girl somewhere who he loved, and he would pretend M didn't exist. When she'd concocted this plan, she'd known, in the back of her mind, that she'd have to deal with the wedding night. Sex was generally expected immediately following a wedding, which meant that tomorrow night she'd have to be in Kaz's bed. She'd never been in anyone's bed. She just wouldn't think about it. She still had another day until the wedding, and pretending the issue didn't exist seemed the best course of action. Perhaps she'd focus on her plan to kill him instead. She needed Kaz, at least for a little while, but she hoped to dispose of him before leaving Lara.
She'd kill him before the king and queen, so they could experience a bit of the pain she'd felt when her family died.
I'm sorry, Em said, trying to compose herself. I love the dress.
Of course you do, the queen said. I have excellent taste. Em laughed despite herself, which earned a smile of approval from the queen. The women took some measurements and put pins in the garment, then helped Em out of it.
Have you spoken to Kaz much since arriving?
The queen asked as Em slipped the pink dress back on.
Only a little, Em replied,
if him saying hello to her yesterday at dinner counted.
Don't worry. You'll warm up to each other soon.
The queen's lips twitched, as if she was thinking something she didn't want to share.
Have you been told about the Union battle?
Not that I recall, Em said carefully, not sure if Mary was supposed to have that information. A maid pulled her dress tighter, trying to button it, and she sucked in a breath.
It's a traditional part of a royal Lara wedding, the queen said. The royals intended battle someone of his or her choice for the entertainment of everyone. With dull blades, of course.
Em tried to hide a smile. That sounded exactly like her kind of wedding festivities. The point is to prove your worth and skill in battle, Jovita said. I, for one, am looking forward to it. You know, the queen beat the captain of the king's guard at her battle. It was a very tough choice of competitor, and she demolished him. Everyone still talks about it.
Jovita, stop, the queen said lightly. You'll make her nervous.
She patted Em's hand.
You're allowed to pick whomever you want, dear.
The condescension was so thick, Em almost laughed. It was just like the Lara royal family to think they had everyone beat.
I was ordered to kill the ruined king in order to marry Kaz. You don't think that proved my worth and skill in battle?
Em lied, swallowing down a wave of nausea. Mary murdering her father had been nothing more than a test to these people.
Then I guess today won't be a challenge at all, Jovita said.
Her smile didn't falter, but her eyes flicked to the queen's.
Are you done?
The queen asked the maid who was fastening the last button.
Let's call for Kaz.
Oh, you don't have to do that, Em said quickly.
We'll just have him escort you back to your room,
the queen said with an amused expression. He can't avoid you forever, after all. She told one of the maids to fetch him. Em sighed and ran a hand over her hair. A glance in the mirror confirmed that she appeared tired and pale, and utterly ridiculous in the too small pink dress, and she hoped Kaz found her exceedingly unattractive. The door opened only a few moments later to reveal Kaz, wearing an expression like someone was poking him in the back with hot knives. He appeared angry, bored, or both. He glanced at her briefly but said nothing. And she shifted uncomfortably. She suspected he made everyone uncomfortable. But he was handsome in a way that was hard to ignore, unfortunately. He had his father's dark hair, but his mother's blue eyes, and together the effect was striking. The king had an olive complexion, much like Em's. The queen had slightly paler skin. Kaz fell somewhere in the middle. His skin tanned from the constant Lara sun. He wore a thin white shirt with the sleeves rolled up to his elbows, and she could see muscle definition through the material. She quickly averted her gaze.
You requested my presence, mother?
When he finally spoke, it was stiff, almost angry.
I thought it would be nice if you escorted Mary back to her room. We finished fitting her wedding dress.
Kaz didn't glance at Em for even a moment.
Of course.
Lovely talking with you, dear, the queen said.
Jovita smirked. obviously still pleased with herself for throwing the new princess off balance. Em murmured a polite reply as she stepped away from the mirror. Kaz extended his arm out to her, and she took it, trying not to grimace at the contact. Kaz turned to the door so suddenly that Em almost stumbled when he tugged her forward. She grasped his arm tighter, quickly regaining her footing before she embarrassed herself by falling down at his feet. "How was your journey to Lara?" he asked as he steered her down the hall.
"It was fine, thank you."
Honestly, she was exhausted and her body still ached from days on the back of a horse. After her meeting the Lara guards at the border, it had taken several days to get to the castle with that stupid heavy carriage in tow.
"And your rooms are adequate?" he asked.
"They're very nice."
He nodded once, and then didn't attempt any further conversation. Em didn't know whether to be relieved or think he was incredibly rude, so she kept her mouth shut as well. Two guards and one maid passed them in the hallway, and she eyed the swords at the guards' hips. Disarming a member of the Lara Guard wouldn't be easy. She'd probably have better luck yanking a rope off the curtains and using it to strangle Kaz. Strangulation took a while, so she'd have to pull him into a deserted room or corner for at least a full minute. He stopped in front of her door, and she slipped her arm out of his.
"Thank you," she said, grasping the door handle.
"You've been told about the Union battle this afternoon?" he asked.
"I have. Sounds like fun."
He lifted one eyebrow, a hint of amusement crossing his face.
"I'm glad you think so."
He lowered his voice.
"I have it on good authority that one of the guards drank too much last night and isn't feeling very well today. He has a red beard and a lot of freckles, if you're looking for an easy choice."
She blinked, unsure if this was some kind of trap.
"Am I supposed to want the easy choice?"
The queen and Jovita had just given her the opposite impression.
"Well, it will make you look good."
He took a step back. His face was far less annoying when he smiled.
"I won't tell, I promise."
Thank you?
This felt like a trick. King Salamir seized every opportunity to prove Lara was the best, and it seemed this was no exception. They wanted her to fail so they could all laugh about her lack of skills in battle. The edges of Kaz's mouth twitched, further convincing her that this tip was his way of trying to embarrass her in front of everyone.
"I'll keep that in mind."
She wrapped her fingers around his arm and gazed at him steadily.
"How kind of you to help me."
He took a step back, clearing his throat.
Sure. I'll see you later."
He turned on his heel and strode down the hallway. She smirked at his back. He was going to have to work much harder to fool her.
Chapter 4
The Union battle was held in the Glory Ballroom, which Davina explained to Em was the smallest of the three ballrooms. It was still impressively big, with a square wooden floor in the center and purple carpet along the sides. Members of the guard were already lined up along the walls, and spectators stood in front of them. The only chairs were the large ones at the front of the room that were obviously for the royal family. The kitchen staff was outside, ready to bring in food and drink after the battle. Em had changed into black pants and a form-fitting black shirt for the occasion. They were her own clothes, and she stretched her arms out with a relieved sigh, the soft fabric moving with her. Swords hung off the hips of every member of the guard. There were 50 guards in the room, easily. Even if she surprised one and took his sword, she'd probably kill one or two, at most, before they cut her down. She swallowed and tried not to think about it. She found Aaron in the crowd. He seemed calm, his expression neutral as a guard said something to him. His brown eyes were bright, though, alive in a way Em hadn't seen since ever, actually. A ruined was fueled by the energy around him or her, and in Aaron's case, the energy of every human in the castle. After a few weeks, he'd probably be able to crush the bones of 10 men before his energy was drained. That was the hope, anyway. Various maps hung on the walls. She stood on her toes to peer at the one closest to her. It was dated around the same time as the war between Lara and Ulso 2 generations ago. All 4 countries were on this map. Lara to the east, Valos just below it, and Ulso to the west of Lara. To the south of Ulso was her home, Ruina. It seemed unlikely they'd just write Olivia on a map to advertise her location, but she squinted at it anyway, just to be sure. She moved to the next one. Mary! The queen stood in the doorway of the ballroom, an annoyed expression on her face. Please come out here. You'll make an entrance with Kaz. Em walked to the door, brushing past the queen to find Kaz leaning against the wall, his arms crossed over his chest. He still looked as though someone was poking him with hot knives, but now he'd grown bored of it. Painful boredom. That was the prince. If you don't know where to put her, don't just dump her anywhere, the queen chastised Davina, who was wringing her hands at Fabiana's side. Bring her to me if you must.
Yes, your majesty.
The queen disappeared into the ballroom, the maids scurrying after her. Em watched the doors swing closed, silence descending onto the hallway.
We'll go in when my father arrives.
Kaz leaned away from the wall and glanced both ways, like he hoped that moment was now. She nodded, rubbing her thumb across her necklace. He watched her, his eyes flicking from her face to her hand.
Are you nervous? He asked.
She quickly dropped the necklace, sliding her hands into her pockets instead. No.
This doesn't really mean anything. It's just tradition.
If it didn't mean anything, you wouldn't do it. She met his gaze. Have you always used dull blades?
Of course.
Why? Are you afraid the bride or groom will win, and one of your own will die?
I think we're more concerned that they'd lose, and we'd have to find a replacement.
His mouth twitched, and she almost laughed.
Me bleeding out on the floor would put a damper on the wedding tomorrow, she said.
Amusement crossed his features, and he hesitated for a beat too long. Perhaps he was reconsidering the use of dull blades.
Yes, it would. Mary?
Em's heart jumped at the sound of the king's booming voice. He strode down the hallway, his lips pulled into an almost comically wide grin. His smile was too big, like it was trying to conquer the rest of his features. King Salamir and Kaz were about the same height, but the king was larger and broader, with a neat, dark beard. Some would find him handsome. Em did not.
Are you ready for the battle?
He asked.
Looking forward to it.
He laughed and clapped a hand on her shoulder. She considered breaking a few of his fingers. He dropped the hand and headed for the ballroom, beckoning for them to follow him. He threw open the door in a dramatic fashion, sweeping his arms out like his admirers were free to adore him now.
Welcome to the Union Battle, he yelled.
Cheers erupted from the crowd. Em trailed behind Kaz and his father as they crossed the room. The king gestured for her to stop in the middle of the floor. He and Kaz continued to the front of the room, standing with the queen and Jovita. The king waited for the cheers to die down before he spoke again.
Today we celebrate the union of my son,